Okay, an endocrine disruptor, or more correctly, endocrine disrupting chemical, is a compound that can affect the endocrine or the reproductive development in animals, and that includes humans. But my research has been particularly focusing on fish.
You've been studying the fish in Australia because it's already been shown elsewhere that these chemicals can cause population declines.
Yeah, there's been a very interesting study was published a couple of years ago from Canada, where people had introduced synthetic estrogen into a lake, and the synthetic estrogen is the same estrogen that is used in contraceptive, the pill that women are using, and which is one of the main endocrine disrupting chemicals that comes out of sewage treatment plants. And so what people did there was they used that chemical and introduce that into that lake at concentrations that are similar to those found downstream from sewage treatment plants, and found that the population of fish that was present in that lake, which was fathead minnows, the males feminized, and after a couple of generations, it was mostly females, which, of course, eventually would result in complete population collapse because they couldn't reproduce.
I think most people can understand that endocrine disrupting chemicals like estrogen are found in water that's come from sewage, but it's not just sewage that has these chemicals in it, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. We found a lot of agricultural pesticides in rivers that are discharging in the reef, as well as in the reef itself. And some of those are known endocrine disrupting chemicals from research that's been conducted overseas. So we were interested, given that these pesticides are present in our waters, do they have any effect on the fauna that lives in that water? So we chose two fish species that are of ecological but also commercial and recreational importance to the region, barramundi and coral trout. And so then we looked at whether the agricultural pesticides that are present in the waters had any effect on the endocrine system in both of these species. And what you do in endocrine disrupting research is, or in ecotoxicology in general, you make use of biomarkers in animals. And biomarkers are basically indicators of particular pollutants that may be present in the environment. And so it's an indication of exposure to those chemicals in the environment.
Did you find a difference between the more pristine areas and those affected by agricultural runoff?
Yeah, that was our main result, where the biomarkers that we looked at were significantly higher in fish that were collected from rivers with more agriculture compared to those that were collected from the more pristine catchments, and similar in coral trout, where those biomarkers were higher in fish that were collected from reefs exposed to runoff from agriculture compared to fish that were collected from Lizard Island, which is a more pristine site.
Does finding that there is an effect of those compounds mean that the reproductive biology of the fish is impaired?
No, it doesn't mean it. It's an indication of exposure. So it tells us that these fish are exposed to these chemicals, but whether that exposure is sufficient to affect their reproductive development or the population as a whole, we don't know yet. And that's topic of future research to look at that.
We know that the fish are exposed to endocrine disruptors, but we don't know what impact they are having. Are there any guidelines that give an indication of safe levels?
No. It's guidelines are based on toxicity studies, and so they don't take into account chronic effects like endocrine disruption, which can occur at much lower concentrations. So that's one thing. But yeah, the general environmental risk assessments, they don't take into account the additives that may be present in the commercial pesticide products. They just look at the active ingredient. And so that is one of our recommendations in the study, that the complete product should be considered in environmental risk assessment, not just the active ingredient.
You make that recommendation because of the results of experiments you conducted where you studied the effects of pesticides.
That's right. So we did experiments in the lab where we exposed fish, juvenile barramundi, to the agricultural pesticides, or some of them that we detected in the reef and the rivers. And we picked two, that atrazine and dione, which are detected most commonly and at highest concentration. So we first exposed the fish to what's called the analytical grade of the pesticide. So it's just the pure compound, atrazine and dione. And when we exposed the fish to those, nothing really happened. So that made us think, well, is it something in the commercial product that the farmers use that can result in the change of biomarkers that we found in the field? And so then we used the commercial products, so the commercial product of atrazine and the commercial product of dione. And what farmers generally do when they apply pesticides, they also use what is called a surfactant to make the pesticide more bioavailable. And so we used a combination of mixtures of those in the lab, and then we found similar responses in the barramundi compared to what we found in the field. And when we analyzed what compounds were present in those commercial formulations, we found that there were products like nonyl phenol ethoxylates and breakdown products like nonyl phenol, which are known estrogen mimics. And so we think it's those compounds rather than, or in combination with the pesticides themselves, that may have caused the results that we found in the field.
Would it be possible to measure the level and type of endocrine disrupting chemicals in the natural environment?
Well, it certainly could be done. It's like most water quality monitoring, it's not cheap, but I think it would certainly be worth, if only to do a preliminary study to see what's around. Mm.